Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Greetings, family. Welcome back. We want to continue on with our Thursday night call. I am Brother Thurman. I'm a ULU board member. And also, we have another ULU board member on the call, Sister Nanana. Sister Nanana, welcome to the call and tell me how you're feeling today.
Well, thank you so much for your warm welcome, Brother Thurman. I'm feeling quite well, thank you. And I'm pleased to be here, to have the opportunity to be a part of the Dare to Win Thursday night radio program and to give and receive information with our listening audience. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, and so once again, family members, the question that we have in this first segment of the evening is, what factors are slowing down our collective economic success? Our collective economic success. And don't forget that, as I said earlier, that as we are going forward with this hour, this Thursday night hour, to call in at 929-477-2789 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And Sister Nanana, on that question, what factors are slowing down our collective economic success? What thoughts do you have on that subject matter?
Well, that's a great question, and thank you so much for posing the question in the manner that you did. You specifically said collective economic success. So I do have some ideas and some thoughts on what the contributing factors would be that have slowed down our economic success. But before speaking to those factors, as I see them, that contribute to our current economic condition, I feel it's really important, once again, to put emphasis that we are talking about collective economic success, not individual. And I oftentimes feel that we have that confused. We can all name at least one or two or more black millionaires, people who are in the category that we might refer to them as really being rich. These individual achievements, while being commendable, have had little or no impact on our economic status as a community, as a nation, as a race of people. What we are addressing tonight, as I understand the question as you have posed it, what we are addressing tonight is our economic condition as a global community of people or as a nation of people. And to look at our condition, you know, without going into a lot of specific details of, you know, numbers and percentages and that type of thing, overall, we are impoverished in large numbers. And collectively, we have very little wealth or economic power. So the solution must be one that addresses and not the individual. So factors that I feel that have contributed to the current condition that we're in, one I would say is that we put a lot of time, energy, and effort into what I consider to be the wrong things, such as we want to identify or separate ourselves into groups or into tribes. For example, there are those who will identify themselves as African-American. There are others who will identify themselves as Native or Indigenous Americans. Others will say, well, I'm a Moor, or someone else will say, well, I'm an Asiatic Black person. All of these different categories, we have to stop and realize that all of these different labelings are acting in a divisive, divisive manner. We also have a tendency to focus on religious differences and put a lot of emphasis on religion overall. And my opinion is that this type of focus, once again, takes away our energy. It takes away the mindset from what we need to be thinking about. We don't need to make decisions about how we're going to be in relationship with people based on whether they are Catholic, based on if they attend the Church of God in Christ, if they're a Baptist, if they're a Jehovah's Witness. That's not the issue. That's not the concern. So once again, it's an energy drain for us. Another thing is our basic lack of knowledge and understanding around what collective or cooperative economics is, and how these basic foundational values are different from what we have been exposed to, which is capitalism. That's what we have learned. That's what we have been exposed to. And so we have to put ourselves in a position whereby we are okay with having to learn a new system, a new process, and understand it's not going to look like the old one. Basically, capitalism is a focus on individualism. Cooperative or family-centered economics is a focus on the group. Something else is that we still think that participation or identification with a particular political party is going to make a difference. I mean, seriously, let's look back over our history and what difference has it made for us whether we identify as a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, or some other category. Really, does that make a difference? I judge that it does not. What makes the difference is the financial base whereby governmental decisions are made, not necessarily the title or the category that those who are in office have put themselves in. Just a couple of more things, and then I'm going to, you know, pause for a minute. And you know, I know you have some comments you want to make as well. We think that education is very important, and I would agree that it is, that education is important. However, when we educate ourselves, when we send our children to these institutions of higher learning, typically we are sending them there so that they can get a quote-unquote good job when they graduate from that institution, rather than becoming educated so that they can return to the community and use what they have learned in order to create, generate, make jobs that will benefit our social and our economic process. So we educate ourselves and we educate our children so that they can be fed right back into the system that that is really set up to misuse them and to drain what intellectual power that they have. And the last thing that I would say that that I think is really destructive to us, and many of us perhaps are not fully aware that this effort is still going on, but there are many of us who are still trying to assimilate rather than owning our own ethnic heritage and understanding that the greatest power that we have is the power in being who we are. And so this whole process of assimilation through social status, through earning of money to move us in such a way that we really don't have to associate or identify with each other, it's very detrimental. So I judge that all of these things that I've mentioned take away from our ability to really have the core and the financial or the energy to focus on building the financial base that we need. So, you know, I've said a lot, and I'm going to stop at this point because I think, Brother Thurman, that you have some ideas about this as well. I know in some other discussions we've had, you've mentioned the media and the influence that you feel that has, as well as some other things that you might want to mention at this point. So I'm going to throw the question back to you and give you an opportunity to add to that if you would care to.
Thank you so much, sister, for the what you have brought to us and family members that's listening, the listening audience around the world, to some very valuable information that Sister Nanana just shared and that can be expanded on, and we could stay here for 6 or 7 or 8 hours or for days to deal with it, and we must deal with it because she's mentioned, you know, emphasize our collective economic success, and it's a very, very serious matter. And she mentioned the word, you know, being distracted, and we are severely distracted, and it's purposeful, intentional. And so when she mentioned the media, they spend multi-millions of dollars, and they've been doing that for decades to media that's got advertising that captures the attention of the ones that are vulnerable and consume a lot of energy ingesting that pollution of the mind and them subliminal blimps. And if you talk to sisters and brothers that rarely watch TV or television, they've just got a different worldview and they're more focused rather than being distracted with a lot of the stuff in the media. And it's promoting this assimilation, as Sister Nanana mentioned. And this fall season, you know, as far as the planet is concerned, is a season that the manipulators and the media people have manipulated our mind and prepared us every fall season to not be focusing on the earth and what's going on with the planet and the energies of the planet, but to focus on what you've been assimilated to do, including Misgiving Day or celebrating pilgrims and pumpkins and Satan Santa and all of these things. And all of those things are distractions that definitely severely contribute to our slowing. They are factors that definitely slow down our collective economic success, because those dollars indulging in Misgiving Day and Satan Santa and all of that are dollars that we should be pooling for and keeping in our community and circulating monies as we have done in the past successfully. And so, us lifting us, you know, word is that for us to take control of the economics of our communities. And we can't do that by giving it up to celebrate pumpkins and pilgrims and Santa and other foolishness, and that's what it is. It's not a part of our heritage. So Sister Nanana mentioned ethnic heritage. And the factors that slow us down is very, very broad, and we invite you to participate in the conversation. And I just want to give one other. And one of them is malnourishment, or the word nutricide. As Dr. Africa, in his book entitled Nutricide, it stands for the nutritional destruction of the black race. But nutricide is a very important factor in slowing down our collective economic growth, because when we have proper nutrition, our mind is more active and comprehends better. And when we're malnourished, and as I saw a piece on the social media 2 or 3 weeks ago that said some people will suggest that somebody is losing their mind or whatever, they got some kind of dis-ease, and what they really have is a deficiency of nutrients and that we need for the proper function of our spirit, mind, body. And there's lots of, experiences that people have had in recognizing the difference in their clarity, in their comprehension, in their love and appreciation when they were properly nutrified versus nutricide, which is the destruction of our people. And so, family members, before we continue on, I want to once again invite you to participate in the conversation and recognize that we must talk about these things, what factors slow down our collective economic success. And the telephone number to call in is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. And press 1 when you are ready to come on the air and give us your questions and your thoughts. And make sure that we're not just we're having a family discussion, and we've got to deal with all aspects of what we can do to mobilize our people in mass numbers, so that we can take control of the economics of our community and regain our culture and stop this assimilation of others. And before I go any further, we do have a caller that wants to have a question or comment. Just give me a moment. And your last four numbers is 3176. 3176. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings, Brother Thurman and Sister Nanana. This is Brother Kimbizi calling from Atlanta. Enjoying the program this evening.
Beautiful.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
can hear you well. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be able to share with you. And I was just intrigued by the question, what factors are slowing down our collective economic success? And to your point, Sister Nanana, that I think we've been hypnotized and mesmerized by those individuals amongst our people who have become millionaires. So we kind of get lulled into the celebrity watching or the celebrity gazing. There's always information on the internet about this black millionaire or that black millionaire, and I think over time, what has happened is that we have lost a sense of us as a collective enjoying economic success. I don't know that that's still on our radar, so to speak. We used to be, I'm of that generation where the progress of one black person vicariously meant the progress of all black people or the larger collective of us. So, you know, if an athlete made mad money, we all felt that somehow extended to us as well. But what has happened over the last couple of decades for certain is we've watched certain persons become economically well off, while, as you pointed out, Sister Nanana, the majority of us here in the United States and certainly in other parts of the world find ourselves stagnating and even to the degree that others are starving. So I think you're on to something very important, that we have to begin to focus on how do we look economically as a collective. And I think if we're honest, we would say that there's a lot of work to do there. So it may be a little overwhelming. You know, you're struggling just to make it, living paycheck to paycheck, and someone poses the question, well, how are we going to move the whole group forward? But I thank you for raising the question, because it makes us aware of the fact that the success of one or two people becoming millionaires, unless that equates to everybody becoming a millionaire, then that doesn't work. So we really do have to figure out a solution that elevates the entire group to a place of economic security. Thank you.
Very wise words. Thank you for the contribution.
All right. Thank you, brother. And he's, you know, just giving us more to add to the conversation. And family members, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Family members, we want to continue the call, and we thank you for being on the line. And we definitely want your inquiries. We've got a job to do, and that is for us to gain control of the economics of our communities all over the world, and to use that along with culture and to get back into our rightful place and gain our liberation. Family members, as we go on with the call, it's very important that you take a close look, any of us that are new and are not a member, or you're a new member and have not gone to the web page, usliftingus.com. It's very important that you take a good look at Us Lifting Us, ask questions, email us, call us, because we need each other. We need each other. Collectively, we can achieve lots and lots of millionaires, and there's more to that subject area. So the number, once again, is 929-477-2789, and you press 1 when you're ready to be a part of the conversation. Sister Nanana, brother,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
had talked about earlier, as well as the good points that Brother Kimbizi had called in. The question I want to pose to you is, due to the fact that the factors you mentioned earlier and some of what Brother Kimbizi talked about cover a wide spectrum of very impactful issues, how would you suggest we start bringing about a change which will lead to greater financial stability for us?
Wow, that's a big question. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to tackle a response to that question. First of all, I see the need for totally embracing and adapting or adopting the race first philosophy that Marcus Garvey espoused. I think that we need to relearn what the race first philosophy is all about. Basically, what it means is total, complete, and uncompromising self-reliance, that we always think in terms of doing for self, no matter what it's concerning, food, clothing, shelter, schooling, health care, no matter what it is, that the first thought, the uppermost thought in our mind should be, how can we provide this for ourselves and not have to ask or be dependent on anything outside of our community to have our needs met? There are those who say that a total self-reliance in this day and age is not possible, that you just can't do that in the world that we live in today. And my response to that is that if we don't have total self-reliance, we are destined to perish or to remain in the economic quagmire and the social and political servitude that we now find ourselves in. So I don't see that there is an option, that we need to really understand race first and to start applying that in every situation. The second thing that I would say, and this gets back to, once again, the whole education process, relearning, we need to educate ourselves concerning sovereignty. And to understand how to achieve sovereignty and what it is. From my perspective, basically sovereignty means not having to yield external influences or any external factors or controls outside of our community. Sovereignty is an authority, a power, and control that is recognized and respected by those within the community as well as those who are not a part of the community. When you are truly sovereign and you don't have to dance to anyone else's tune, you know it and they know it. So sovereignty is fueled by recognition of having a shared experience that supersedes all individual experiences. And that particular shared experience then becomes the bond and the energy to cement the collective or the unit, as well as to generate the authority and the control on behalf of all of the members of the unit. So, you know, I hope I've stated that in a way that that makes sense. So our sovereignty is dependent upon us totally recognizing that what we share collectively is much, much more powerful and more valuable than what we have individually. And it gets back once again to part of what Brother Kambizi was saying, is that we have to start putting the collective first. We have to relearn how to think and to always say we instead of me. That's what it gets down to. Something else as far as the education process is concerned, I believe that we need a relearning or a deeper understanding concerning what wealth is and how to acquire wealth, so that we understand the difference between being rich and being wealthy. The millionaires that we talked about earlier, all of those who are in that category, who are of our community, they're not wealthy. They're rich, because wealth is something that's passed on generationally. And the reason it's passed on generationally is because part of wealth is longevity. And to have longevity, you must pass it through the bloodline. It must be passed through the community. And so that's a hard piece for some of us to understand. Also, wealth is not always monetary. Wealth can be in the form of skills, knowledge, expertise. In addition to that, wealth is actually the land and the resources from the land. So here again, focusing on what's important, how can we acquire land? How can we start being directors of how the resources of the land are used? All of these are areas that we have to address and address in a very aggressive and serious manner. Another thing that's coming to mind for me right now is letting go of all of the ways in which we have separated ourselves from each other. And I mentioned that a little bit earlier. We really have to stop separating ourselves by skin tone, by religious identification, by so-called social status, which really gets down to how much education we think we have or how big our bank account is. And we have to go back to race first and understand that all of those in our community, we are them and they are us. And the last thing I would say that many of us are getting caught up in is attempts to assimilate via what I call the new integration philosophies. These new philosophies have been very cleverly packaged and disguised with terminology such as multiculturalism, diversity, inclusion. I can't think of all the other terms, but basically what is happening in those processes is that that part of our core being that makes us who we are, in other words, our culture, when we are involved in those processes, it becomes diluted by these processes. And when that happens, we become weaker, we become confused, and we become marginalized. These types of assimilation efforts and processes really threaten our lifeblood, which is our unique culture. So these are just some of the thoughts that I have in response to your question. And I think a major thing, if I were to go back through and summarize what I've just shared, would be the piece around sovereignty. We must achieve that if, in fact, we are going to achieve any measure of economic stability. And thank you for asking the question.
And thank you, Sister Nanana. Very good information, and emphasizing also that value of the sovereignty. Family members, we thank you so much for being on the call, and we definitely choose it at the number of callers that are on the line, that are listening in, including by internet, that you are taking notes. Please take notes And please recognize that everything that we're talking about is vital to the health, the sanity, the survival, and the economic power of our people. And we can do this. And we, us lifting us is we've got a campaign, the Dare to Win campaign, and we can win. So we've got to have the attitude about winning. Before we go any further, Sister Nanana, we've got a caller that got a question or comment, and we want to welcome them to join the conversation. And so telephone number 3440, please give your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings. This is Brother Shabaka from calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Really appreciate the conversation tonight. It's so very important, and I wanted to make a comment and ask a question too. The comment, I guess, is for our listening audience. Just to talk about the subtleties, I think, Sister Nanana, that you spoke about. All you would have to do is just look at the commercials where, you know, we spend a lot of time in front of the TV. We think that we're looking at an hour program, and an hour program has about 20 minutes of commercials. And so we're actually looking at 40 minutes of the program because it's commercial television. The commercials are there, but the commercials are very well structured, all right, and very sinister. All right. Generally, you see the commercials that are aimed at, particularly when it talks about family, particularly if they're selling family-type products. What you notice, or what I've noticed, is that the preferred mate to a male is a white female. They talk about the diversity thing that they're trying to infuse into our thinking. All right, but take a look at it. I'm telling the listening audience, check out the commercial. Black male is a white female, or maybe even a white male. Sisters, all right, a preferred mate is a white male or a white female. I mean, it's very subtle because they flash it quickly, all right, but the preferred mate for Chinese is a Chinese. The preferred mate for Hispanic is a Hispanic. But when it comes to us, all right, again, the poisoning of diversity to confuse our thinking and the strategy that they're using now as we approach the 2020 census, which I think is aimed at undercutting our population growth. So I just wanted to emphasize some of the subtleties that you see on one of the most popular mediums that we look at, and that's the TV or the movies, you know, and they get us there. We have to be aware of those things because it hits us in a subliminal kind of a way, and we don't become very cognizant, you know, of what is happening to our environments, and so it's very destructive. In fact, Neely Fuller years ago reminded us how destructive all of these people actions that he described, you know, are being controlled just so that the people that are right now in control sustain that control. And that control is not to have us gain economic subsistency, independence, or sovereignty at any cost. The question I have is this, and I'll let you respond. In spite of the strategy that might be used, you know, because I don't sit at these meetings where they're plotting and making strategies, what are some concrete things that we might be able to do within the cooperative economic movement, as you see it, all right, to sort of like repel some of these insidious impressions that are being placed on our minds subconsciously, which makes us not necessarily move us towards a cooperative model?
Okay, Brother Shabaka, thank you so much for the very good information and the question. And that's a very good question. And it's interesting that you posed that question. And Sister Nanana, would you like to engage on his question?
Yes, I'm going to give a response to that, and thank you so much, Brother Shabaka, for some of the examples that you've pointed out that definitely put us in a position whereby, the brainwashing that occurs every time you turn on the tell lie vision. Some of the major thing from my perspective that we can do within the cooperative process, or the major thing that we do within the cooperative process that allows us to combat these images that are constantly put in front of us, is that we in the cooperative economic environment have the opportunity to constantly be in the company of each other and to see each other in situations where we are productive, where we are successful, where we are helping one another, and where we are moving forward and being progressive. In the ULU model, we do business with each other. And so that impact, that visual impact that occurs when we're watching the tell-lie vision, we can have triple that visual impact when we actually have the opportunity to be in each other's company and to see visually that we are progressing and that we are actually working together. Now, I know that may sound like, well, gee, that's not a lot, but that is so powerful when you are get all of that melanin together in a particular environment and constantly communicating and in relationship with other people who look like you, that in itself is a major, major healing process. And that's one of the biggest opportunities that we have offered to us in a collective and in a cooperative environment. It's like we have a closed bubble that we can operate within and be successful and be safe and be protected and have all of our needs met, and to see each other doing for each other, and to keep feeding off of that over and over and over again. So the biggest benefit is really being together. And we need that because our communities have been severed. You just pointed out our family structures have been severed and have been threatened by the images that have been shown to us that constantly tell us that we should not choose each other as partners and as mates, that we should choose someone who does not look like us and who, in fact, represents those that have oppressed us. And so when we learn to work collectively and put ourselves in that environment, we combat all of that and we pass that on to the children as well. So hopefully that makes some sense, and thank you for posing that question.
And thank you, Sister Nanana. And family members, we thank you. We're getting down to about the last 9 minutes of this call. And don't forget, we're here every Thursday, and make sure that you pass the word to your family members and to your contacts about us lifting us. And it's very, very important, extremely important. And we've got to get the word out to all of our people. There's a state of emergency that we're in. We've been in it for a long, long, long time. And war's been waged on us. We've been attacked. And everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But the distractions, the things that slow down our collective economic success, those distractions, the media and all of those things, and those images, those false images, those anti-us images, those images that's not about us, is keeping us in a vulnerable position in this state of emergency, but we can do something about it. We can band together, pool our resources, and Us Lifting Us does have a winning plan already in place. It's not in the talking stage. And so once again, we urge you all the time to go to the website, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. When you open up the homepage and you scroll down, you'll see three videos on the right-hand side. It's very important that you look at all of those videos and ingest that information into your mind, into your spirit, and feel it and see that we've got to do something about what's going on with us in this state of emergency and this attack. And the brother mentioned Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller said in his book, The Code System, when people invite him to parties, he said, no, I don't go to parties. I go to meetings, because we go to parties when it's all over, nothing for the people, the liberation of the people is accomplished. But he said, if I go to meetings, when I leave the meeting, something was accomplished. And so it's we're in a state of emergency. We got to do something about it. Us Living Us has a winning plan that we can pool our resources. And just as an example, we've got Cafe Ulu, which is the first business of Us Lifting Us in Atlanta, you know, in the Sylvan Shopping Center, a coffee house and networking lounge, internet, and have many, many events going on every week and on the weekends. And we urge you to, if you're not familiar with Cafe Ulu, write it down, cafeulu.com, cafeulu.com. That's their web page, and you can get information about their hours, the address, the zip code, phone number, and also know that you're a coffee drinker. Come to Cafe Ulu. Tell your friends, tell everybody you know in the Atlanta area to visit Cafe Ulu. If you're coming from out of town, like Brother Shabaka, you know, on several occasions, you know, he's traveled to Atlanta and through Atlanta, but he stops and visits the Cafe Ulu, and he's a member owner, so he's a owner of Cafe Ulu, and you can be an owner also, because once you apply and you're accepted as a member, you're a member owner of our first business. And when we've got our 10th and the 20th and the 30th and the 100th business, as long as you stay active and qualified, you're a member owner of each one. And every member has a equal vote, and nobody has more votes than anybody else. That's cafeulu.com. Please make sure that you go to their webpage. And also Cafe Ulu is on Facebook, and on Facebook you can keep up with the various events that they have for seniors, for young people, chess, music, poetry, classes on finance, and things like that. Cafe Ulu's Facebook page. And also make sure you like the page. And Us Lifting Us also has a Facebook page, if you're not familiar with it, but it's very important that you go to the page so that you'll know about events and activities concerning Us Lifting Us, as well as other things that's vital to our community. And make sure that you like the page. And Sister Nanana, in these last few minutes, I'm going to further thoughts that you want to contribute in these last few minutes.
Well, thank you for this final opportunity. And what I would share is that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative has the blueprint, has the winning plan for us to successfully build an economy that is specific to our needs. ULU is a global business organization designed to change the way that we do business with and among ourselves, as well as with others. ULU employs cooperative principles that optimize not only our intellectual resources, but particularly our monetary resources, in such a way that all of the member owners benefit. So I, too, am encouraging the listening audience, for those who are not members of ULU, or for those who are members and perhaps have not taken the opportunity to take the next step, which is to become a member owner by purchasing a unit, to move ahead and do that, because this is the first step of the process, which is to pool resources. And after pooling the resources, we can then use those resources to develop and maintain businesses such as Cafe ULU within our communities. And after that step, what we see is the distribution of profit, wages, back to the member owners. So this is a real simplified explanation of the process, of the three best basic steps, but what it is that it works. We know it works, and we are moving forward to expand ULU into many different areas, whether it's agriculture, manufacturing, technology. ULU is global, and we are pursuing large-scale businesses around the world, as illustrated through the membership that we have. We have membership in Canada, Japan, London, Bermuda, Haiti, and we continue to grow. So ULU really does have the winning plan. And that would be my final comment. Join ULU and be a part of building this great economy that we need for our community. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Thurman.
And thank you, Sister Nanana. Thank you always. Nanana, Brother Kimbizi, Brother Shabaka, and all of the sisters and brothers, the elders that are on the call, on the telephone, as well as by internet. And just as we close out for this Thursday, we cannot forget there's a serious state of emergency. Our people are being abused continuously. And we can do something about it. And us lifting us does have the model that we need. The capitalistic model is not the model that we need. And we have the opportunity that collectively we can win, we can do something about it. And for further information, make sure that you go to the webpage. And if you got further questions, inquiries, you can call Us Lifting Us, call Us Lifting Us. Our business office telephone number is 404-592-2780, 404-592-2780. And if you want to email us, you can email us at info@usliftingus.com, info@usliftingus.com. Call us, email us with your inquiries, because we do want you to have clarity about Us Lifting Us. And family members, it only, you apply for a membership and you accept it, it only $50 a year to be a member of Us Lifting Us. $50. $50 also qualifies you that you are a active member and you have a say-so, a vote in the endeavors, the businesses, and the decisions that Us Lifting Us makes. So you're also at the $50 level. You have opportunity to be a part and see what we're doing, and you got to say so. And also, any Us Lifting Us members, prospective members, we are in need of some sisters and brothers that would come on the air and do the Thursday night call as we're doing tonight. We invite you to contact us if you're interested in hosting the Thursday night call. Give us a call and let's have a conversation about that. And we will be back next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure that you go to the Cafe ULU webpage and get familiar with that. And you can also order coffee from African countries online from Cafe Ulu, regardless of where you are in this country, and also the Us Lifting Us Facebook page. Make sure that you like both of those pages and stay in contact with the events that's going on with Us Lifting Us. And we look forward to being back on the air with you once again. And so we will be back next Thursday. Thank you so much for being on this call.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside.